The following talk was given by Bear Gokhan Bonabakar at Zen Mountain Monastery. Gokhan is a senior monastic and dharma holder in the Mountains and Rivers Order. He serves as director of operations at Zen Mountain Monastery and also helps run the National Buddhist Prison Sangha. This talk, like all of our talks, is given free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
This is from Bodhidharma's teaching, The Two Entrances, the third practice, seeking nothing. He says, people of this world are deluded. They're always longing for something, always, in a word, seeking. But the wise wake up. They choose principle over custom. They allow their mind to be clear and let their body change with the seasons. All phenomena are empty. There is nothing to desire. Calamity forever alternates with prosperity. To dwell in the three realms is to dwell in a burning house. To have a body is to suffer. Does anyone with a body know peace? Those who thoroughly understand this let go of their attachments and stop imagining or seeking anything. The sutras say, to seek is to suffer. To seek nothing is bliss. Seeking nothing, you enter the way. So I've been working with this teaching from Bodhidharma called The Two Entrances, a teaching about entering. I've been asking this question, what is it to enter the way? What is it to enter the way? How is it that we enter? So here, this, the third of four practices that he offers. He says, in seeking nothing, we enter the way. Can we seek to enter the way? What is it to enter our own life? How is it that we are outside, have not entered? He says, people of this world are always longing for something, always seeking. We are always seeking. What is it that you seek? There are many things that we seek. Pleasure, good feelings. The Buddha said that's kind of all we know how to do. He said, whenever we are uncomfortable, what we know how to do is to look for pleasure, look for a way to make ourselves feel better, that this custom is deep in us, this habit. And so to think of all the different ways that you go looking for pleasure, that we do go looking for pleasure, the places in our mind, the things that we turn to, the sensations we go looking for. They are just sensations. We seek comfort, security. We seek approval, looking for it in the way that we are looked at, seen. When people speak to us, do I get praise, approval, or blame, disapproval? How much we want approval. I was remembering the one time the Daido and Dokusan gave me a little bit of approval. Quite a few years of working with him. Most of the time, he just kind of looked not so interested. And for some years, I was working on Dogen Faskal with him, presenting lines, and he would just not be so interested. He'd say, okay, go ahead, go on. Or he'd ask some questions. And just once he said, huh, that's pretty good. Then he rang the bell. That was it. Why don't our Zen teachers give us approval, give us what we want? We seek peace. Someone asked a question a while ago, do we ever get to rest? Is there ever rest? What is the rest that we are seeking? What is it to truly rest? We seek escape. Escape from ourselves, from our feelings, from difficulty. We can seek to escape into not feeling. We seek love, to be loved, to be wanted. All these things that we seek. In these things, is it the things that we seek? What are we actually seeking? What do you seek? And all of these things, so many of these things, it's just human, so human to be wanting these things. Some of them really are needs. We need some of these things to flourish in this human life. They're not bad, evil, faults to get rid of. Bodhidharma says, the sutras say, to seek is to suffer. To seek nothing is bliss. So where does the suffering come from? Where is the problem? He also uses the word longing. Sometimes I feel like there's kind of a deeper, more fundamental longing underneath these desires that we have. And sometimes we can touch that, be in touch with that when we settle down, when we're alone, quiet. Or is it a fundamental discomfort, dis-ease? Can we allow ourselves to touch that? I can sometimes see that when I get close, that's when I kind of spin away. There is something deeper that's hard to touch. And so there's some confusion about what we actually want. We get confused. What are we seeking, looking for? Is there something deeper that you long for? And we get confused about how to get it. It seems we can make ourselves feel better. There are things that make us feel better. Experiences that are pleasurable. But are they actually what we're looking for? Are they satisfying? Are they what we expect them to be? Bodhidharma says, people choose custom. Some other translations use the word convention. I was interested in this word custom. People choose custom. So there are customs that we share, that we co-create. In a sense, customs that are out here or that are here. Last week I was in a men's group and someone talked about receiving social corrections. I hadn't heard that term before, but he was talking about times that he clearly got a message. No, you shouldn't dress like that. You shouldn't speak like that. That what he was doing was not in accord with custom. And we also talked about how sometimes there's not like a specific time when you like got that correction, but we know. We know. It's pretty clear. And it might seem that some of these customs are superficial. How we dress, how we cut our hair, how we cross our legs. But are they superficial? There is the custom of this is how we do things. This is how we live a life. This is what's important. This is who you are. And we become accustomed to the custom. So accustomed that we can't see that it is just custom. Where did it start? Where does it come from? And it can seem that we're bound by custom. It's hard to see it, and it can be hard to step out of it because we get those social corrections, or we're afraid of them. What will that mean? What will that be? And it seems that somehow when someone does step out outside of the custom, that's a threat. That's a threat. It was making me remember many years ago, I taught high school for a couple of years in northern Vermont, rural, work boots and snowmobiles. And there was this kid who, in the middle of the year, came to the school and came from another state. He was this beautiful kid. And he was like super cool. He wore wingtips and a leather jacket. It was kind of like out of the movies. And I remember hearing the kids talk behind his back, or talk when he was like, would leave the room and be like, I don't like that kid. I don't like that kid. Something was being threatened, it seemed. We can become so deeply accustomed that it seems like it's the truth. And I think there's a way in which it's like there's custom here, out here, and there's custom that's here. The custom here is related. I may internalize what I learn in relationship. And then I give myself the corrections that are needed. The other day I was backing up the car out here and I hit the curb and I was like, oh, I hope nobody saw that. Kind of joking. There's custom that is very particular, that's shared, and that is very particular here to me. It's like it's happening all in here. How I see the world, how I do things, how I see myself, customary ways of reacting and understanding, seeing. And I hold myself to my own custom. We hold ourselves to our own customs. Becoming so accustomed that we can't see that it is just custom. It's just habit. Where did it come from? How did it all get started? And it's hard to go against the custom here also. Why? Is it a threat? Many years ago, during Dharma Encounter, which is a sort of face-to-face teaching in public on a Sunday morning with Daito Roshi, this was, I remember him asking someone, are you ready to let go of your suffering? And of course they said, yes, yes. I remember in the moment, and this is, I have remembered this interaction for all these years, but in the moment sort of hearing, there's a real question there. There's a real question there. It's easy to say yes. Are you ready to let go of your suffering? The custom runs deep. The habit runs deep. We are so accustomed. The custom becomes view, becomes how we see ourselves, how we understand ourselves. It's not so easy to choose something else. Who will we be? Who will I be? If I stop saying the things that I say to myself, regarding myself the way I regard myself. Shanti Deva says, knowing the sources of my suffering, why do I return to them over and over again? It is just energy, habit energy. It is just custom. What happens then when we let it go? Loosen, shift. Who are we without our customs? Bodhidharma says, people of this world are deluded, but the wise wake up. They choose principle over custom. They allow their minds to be clear and let their body change with the seasons. There is delusion, and there is waking up. There is seeing delusion. Releasing delusion, seeing through delusion. We can choose not to grasp, not to oppose, not to follow our customs of wanting, seeking, trying to change. We can choose to enter. He uses this word principle. You could call it the way, the nature of things, our true nature. It's not custom. It's not of our making. He says, the wise allow their minds to be clear and let their body change with the seasons. I like this line because it's like there's a little bit of poetry. Bodhidharma is not so poetic, it turns out. We can allow our minds to be clear. Allow it. We can't make it be clear, I don't think. You can try. You're probably trying, we all try. We can allow it to be clear. And let our body change with the seasons. Release our opposition. He says, all phenomena are empty. There is nothing to desire. There is nothing to desire. No thing to desire. So this is a place to look closely. What is he saying? When we're seeking, looking, desiring, what is it that we're seeking? What is it that we seem to get? Do we get anything? He says there's nothing to desire. Is there anything to be had? Well, what is it? Can you point to it? Can you hold it? Can you touch it? Someone said something recently to me about thought, and I don't remember quite what it was, but like you have to see through thought. And in working with this line, I remember there was a kind of turning point for me when during Sesshin, periods of Zazen where I would just be lost in thinking. For a while I was lost in planning the perfect school that I was going to be the principal of. Period after period. lost in thought because they seem so real, because they're convincing, compelling. They seem so real. It kind of seems like you're getting something. But coming to the end of yet another period, and the bell rings, and I come back into my body and come back into the room, and started to ask, wait a minute, did I get what I was looking for? Did I get anything? Is that satisfying? What is that? What do I want? Kind of the question, what's real? What is there? And so we can look at this. Look at it with your thoughts, and look at it with the things that you desire. Just the little things. Going to get an ice cream. To look closely, what is it that you're actually looking for? And what is it that you actually get? Right? Is it the cone? The ice cream cone? Is it the sensation, the taste? Where does that come from? Does that come from the ice cream? Or from your mouth? And is it a thing? Did you get something? Where is it? Where does it go? They're just moments of sensation. What are we creating? Sounds pretty good, though. Strawberry. So he says, all phenomena are empty. There is nothing to desire. Calamity forever alternates with prosperity. To dwell in the three realms is to dwell in a burning house. To have a body is to suffer. Does anyone with a body know peace? Those who thoroughly understand this let go of their attachments and stop imagining or seeking anything. So these lines, calamity forever alternates with prosperity, the burning house, to know to have a body is to suffer. Just talking about samsara. And so there is understanding that there is nothing to desire. And there is understanding that following our usual ways, living in samsara, we are never going to find it in this way. We will never find peace in the world of custom and convention. He says, those who thoroughly understand let go of their attachments and stop imagining or seeking anything. What is it to stop imagining or seeking anything? There are other teachings that say to sit with no gaining idea. With no idea of gain, to sit with no opinion for or against anything, no opinion for or against, to sit without comparing. If we have some idea of gaining, of accomplishing, of getting something, then we're just trying to create what we're imagining. Something that matches our imagination, that we should be getting. We're creating the sense that there is something to get. And we all bring our customary ways to practice. So of course we do this. So Bodhidharma offers this, not seeking anything. Not creating. And there is also not opposing, not trying to get rid of. Seeking nothing, he says, you enter the way. at the beginning of Sesshin, Hojin Sensei said, we all have a practice. We all have a practice. We should know what our practice is. We have different practices, right? You hear about that. So some of us are working with our breath. Some of us do shikantaza. Some of us do koan study. But Bodhidharma is talking to all of us. Let go of your attachments and stop imagining or seeking anything. Can you see how you seek and imagine in your zazen? What do you seek and imagine? What does that do? What does that bring you? That's bringing our customary ways, living in our customary world still. Not seeking doesn't mean not to try, doesn't mean not to care, doesn't mean no effort. But what is this don't seek anything? We all have a practice. What is it to give ourselves over to our practice? What happens when we give ourselves over to our practice? What is it to enter the way? It's not by following custom, our own custom, our own agenda, our own ideas and habits. And Sesshin helps us to see this. I so appreciate Sesshin. I do a lot of Sesshin, and I really appreciate Sesshin. And I feel like I continue to learn to trust Sesshin, and to trust that, to trust the wisdom of the form of Sesshin, and to learn how to just give myself over to Sesshin. We can't make things happen and change and open, but we do create the circumstances. We make it more likely. I was talking last week to some of the students who are here for the week of True Refuge, which is a different kind of intensive, much more self-directed. And during the week, some of them were talking about how they felt like being here and doing a lot of sitting, but it wasn't Sesshin, and that they were finding a different kind of ease in their zazen. Shugen was away, and some of them realized, oh, I'm not worried about Dokusan, I'm not anxious. And that's part of why we do other forms of intensive practice. And Shugen has been trying to offer that to us in different ways. But I didn't say this, but I kind of wanted to say, yes, and we learn to be more at ease, and kind of so that then can we bring that into Sesshin, into this intensive form of practice? Can we find here in the intensity, in the challenge, in the rigor, we are meant to find ease? There is pushing sometimes, there is struggle sometimes. And there is the just wholehearted practice of giving ourselves over. Relaxing. Being complete, we practice in that way. Just giving ourselves over. Not seeking,
Thanks so much for listening. For meditation supplies such as cushions, incense, liturgical instruments, Dharma books, and more, visit monasterystore.org. Support for your spiritual practice at home.